A special little caution for little ears. There'll be a bit of special cuddles chat in this catch-up.
Yeah, that's right. Robin gave us the exercise value of certain activities today, which was very educational.
Yeah, it also made me embarrassed for the first time on this show.
Nah, you're okay.
Yeah. I got a little red.
What's your sexercise sessions go longer than
sex
anyone else.
Sex calculator. Sex calculator. It's like a wonderful 80s synth pop band, doesn't it?
Sex calculatrice in France. And if you like, who else did we talk to today? We had someone else on today who has had some fun for us. God, what's happened to my brain? Oh, smashing your car. Smashing your car in your own house. That was good. And the weird ways that you've smashed your car. That was good to hear.
Also, we talked about the Socceroos.
Oh, hold on. Didn't Robin also, apart from the sex business, bought the reasons to love your dog?
Yeah, and you guys were hopeless. It was a bad audience.
Yeah, we were just...
what you bring.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I put the catch up together that he's going to be hard pressed making me.
Oh, they throw it in just so everyone knows.
Just, okay.
Yeah. And everyone goes, oh, those poor boys.
And of course, back tomorrow at 8:05.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you know, at any point you can go, oh, yeah, like last night when Teddy, I'd thrown the ball to for an hour, came and put his little tired head on my lap. That's the kind of contribution that you can make. You can bring it back to yourself.
Oh, no. You should have done that to help out.
See? Thanks.
You didn't help there.
Not at all. Told you, bad audience.
Yeah. See, I don't get any sex because of that. We're going back to that previous thing.
Well, there you go.
My exercise is scooping up, getting the shovel and scooping up poo. So that's the dog sales I want to talk about.
Listen to me a little bit more and you may get a better way of communicating, which may get you some... You know.
Thank you. We've come full circle. Enjoy the catch-up.
What a day.
I did something stupid yesterday. You can all, like, point your finger and laugh at me. I hate it when I do this, man. I just, it's so dumb. I was kind of tired. Well, that's the story of my life anyway. And someone had parked their car over half of their drive, over my driveway, which was okay, and I knew that. So I kind of half-mounted the curb, and I've got a Mazda CX-9. I half mounted the curb to come into my driveway and I thought I'd swung out far enough, but I hadn't. And so I took out the back two panels of my car on my garage.
Your own garage.
You sent me this photo yesterday. I don't know if you realised. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
It's so stupid. It's from the passenger door right back. It's like it's two full panels and it's scratched to buggery. Yeah. And, you know, my eldest son who's 17, Finn, who is got his L's and is trying to, you know.
Oh, you're trying to blame him?
No. Oh. No, but he's in the car with me. He goes, oh, Mum, it's okay. It's not that bad. It's just a scratch.
$3,000.
I'm like, yeah. Mm. Oh, what?
Two panels?
$3,000?
I'd reckon so. You're telling me that back panel, back passenger and the back door. Yeah, that's got to be.
But it's
anyone?
Worse.
Well, you can be the judge. It's on our Instagram page at Brisbane.
Thanks.
Well, listen, this is ridiculous. You can't be crashing your car. Well, you can. Because I've got marks all down the wall of our driveway as well. And you ask anyone, well, what's happened there? No one wants to know about it. Well, what happened on the front of your car? Oh, I don't know. Someone must have hit me there.
Geez, it's worse.
There's a lot of trouble happen before you even get out of your house.
No, it's worse if you do it at home. Like, you know, at least someone would have the decency to hit my car. But no, I took out my own garage.
Were you backing back or going forwards? You were going backwards.
No, I was coming in.
Yes, you're coming in sideways.
A different angle to normal.
Slightly.
I don't think that's the dumbest way people would have... Really? Injured their car once when I had the Triple M car. My first day ever working for Triple M, I was in the vehicles, the Rock Patrol, and I backed one into a bollard out the front of Subway. With a restaurant full of people just staring out at me with their little grinning.
Oh, they thought it was a ram raid attack by some of the Triple M people.
Did they feel sorry for you and give you free ones?
No, they were laughing because, I couldn't manoeuvre the car out of this spot and then I just smashed into a bollard.
Oh, babe.
That's dumb.
I hear you.
See, that's hitting dumb. Inanimate objects like you have, Robin, and like you have, Ed, that's probably the stupidest thing.
Do you reckon?
When something's not moving. I can understand when something's moving you can hit it.
As a tradie, have you not had things on your top of your roof and you've forgotten it you've scraped through on that? Come on.
No, timber. If you have timber on the top of your racks and you drive into your carport or driveway, I've taken out a few palings. But you fix them up before your wife gets home.
Yeah, well, you can.
And they don't know.
I can't.
And you just go, can let's you... not talk about that. What about people, who, all these cyclists that put their bike on the roof and they crash into their carport? I always love that one.
Do you have a dumbest way you've injured your car? Now, Craig, I did say that you people could nominate others, and you're going to go down that path, I believe. Who damaged the car?
It was my wife. She damaged my XB coupe underneath a 1970s house. She was reversing the car back to get at the washing machine, and she did a 3,000-point turn and turned the car sideways underneath the house.
She was trying to do a U-ey, trying to turn it around under the house.
Yeah, she was trying to go straight backwards, but for some reason she needed to turn the wheel.
Yeah.
And
concrete
I
post?
Ended up with concrete posts, and I had to get the trolley jack and remove the car with three guys trying to push it and make less damage on the car than try to get the car in.
Oh, now, come on, Craig. That's a skill.
Well, it was very skillful. Nobody I've ever known or can actually put their car under a 1970s steel tone sideways.
Incredible.
Pretty good effort from her. That's good, mate. Thank you, Craig.
Jeff at Redland Bay. Come on. Wife? Another one? My wife did?
Yeah.
My wife.
I bought my wife a brand new black Jeep Cherokee Sport.
Yeah.
Nice.
Lovely car. And I put it on the grass in the front yard to give it its first wash, and washed it, got it nice and shiny, and reversed it back to put in the garage and straight over the letterbox.
You did? What?
Yeah, I did. All the way down, all down the right-hand side, the back yard, the door, just gouged it.
Did you?
On a metal letterbox.
Did and you try to get away with it?
Oh, I know. Everyone heard it. It was very noisy. Yeah. I live in a little cul-de-sac, and we're all tradies in the street.
Oh, no.
All the boys were up the road having a beer and just turning around. Mate, this was about 5 years ago, and they still remind me of it, so does my wife.
Go down and check on Jeff's new wife's new car, eh?
Oh, that's fun, Jeff.
Hey,
well
Jeff,
done.
Can I just ask, how much did it cost to repair?
Yeah, good one.
Just so I know. Do you know? Do you remember?
How much damage?
No, how much did it cost to repair?
Oh, we went through insurance, but it would have been a couple of grand.
Yeah, yours will be a couple of grand, but you'll have just excess, 400 or 600 excess. Well, we seem to be hitting a lot of things that aren't moving. See, that's my concern. Damien from Ipswich, what was it? Was it your wife?
Nah, mate, it was me, and it's a bit embarrassing, but very similar to Ed. I had pulled up in the servo, and I was reversing out my Hilux ute. And I was too busy perving at a Sheila and actually driving to the bollard that was in the walkway there.
Oh. Yeah, mate, how much do those bollards jump out of nowhere, Damien? They're unbelievable.
tell me about it. You know, the worst thing is I went back in there a couple of weeks later with my head down, and they'd actually taken it from a bolted in one into the ground to a floppy one that moves.
Oh, that's what I need in life. Like a corner flag.
Late.
That's what I need, Damien. that's what happens, mate.
Did did she know that you were perving at her when the accident was caused?
Yeah, everything went flying onto the floor and she just looked at me and I didn't even get out to check the damage. I just reversed and drove off down the road and then had a look.
What a great rap for a chick. She caused an accident.
She may not have realised.
The next few minutes will be about science and learning.
Okay.
A chance for everyone to learn.
Okay. I have no idea the credibility of Dr. Felix, but he is calling himself a doctor.
Does he have a second name, or is he like a Brazilian soccer player?
Yeah, he's like a Brazilian soccer player.
Just one name.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So he's done this sex workout calculator. Mm. So basically, let's work with the premise that 30 minutes of sex is equivalent to a 15-minute run. And can burn off 90 calories, which is the same as a can of Coke.
What? No, there's my first issue.
Can of Coke's more than
that. Can of Coke's got to have more than that, doesn't it?
Well, maybe it's one of the, you know, Coke Zero. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. All right.
That's what he's saying.
Well, that's where we're at.
How vigorous are we in this 30 minutes?
Well, you know, it depends on, and he's gone through and he's shown the various muscle groups of men and women.
Oh, I'm sure there's graphs and stuff. But
and he's saying things like your arms, your legs, your glutes and your abs.
Yeah.
And if you start to the next day have a day or a 2 day burn, you clearly have been working them out to the extent of maybe climbing a mountain. Mm. Okay, right?
Is this if you're on top or on the bottom?
Well, then this is the other issue. It depends,
because you're not
using
the arms so much when you're being lent on.
Okay, so there are positions that burn the most calories in 10 minutes. Okay. For women, the most calories can be burnt if they are squatting, right? The second most can be being held up by your partner. for men. The most calories can be bought.
Just one sec. Have you got any yellow cards available? Just keep an eye on. She's going close here.
Ruffling through my pocket there.
Okay. I'm just trying to help.
Science.
Science. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
For men, most calories.
Scientific music.
There we go.
That's science.
Yeah. Holding up your partner will.
Holding up like
your
what?
Partner. I'm not going to go into great. That is up to you to fill in the gaps, Marto. Seriously, work with me.
What if you've got one of those leather swings?
Yeah, they're held up.
Oh, well, then no. That's nothing.
That's lazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's lazy.
Also, please don't say fill in the gaps while we're talking about this. Thank you very much. Next.
Is there any whip work?
No, well, that hasn't made it on the calorie count.
Whip work.
Oh, you know, your arm.
No, I'm aware.
Okay, so standing for a man. If you are standing and are able to, participate, then you're doing... Yeah, okay. So you've got it now. Okay.
Is that more science?
2 hours.
Yes. This is what people play when you're a scientist.
I believe so.
In the lab.
I think this is in the lab. Yeah.
Sorry, Rob.
Okay. The bad news is that in order to work off more than 2 apples, the average person would need to have sex for more than half an hour. But an hour.
Ask me the Bunsen burner. I'm a scientist.
But you've so lost it. You're not even listening.
I am.
We are.
I'm listening.
Thank you, Ed.
That's someone having sex for half an hour.
Okay. Half an hour is the equivalent of eating 2 apples. An hour of active sex is the equivalent of a slice of pizza and a glass of wine.
Hold on. Who's having sex for an hour?
And 2 hours will burn a hamburger or 3 vodkas and cokes. And the equivalent
having
of
sex
playing
for 2 hours.
An entire football match.
Oh.
There you go. You go for 2 hours and you do not have to play your soccer game this weekend, Brendo.
I don't think I can go for 2 hours.
If I meet someone who's having sex for 2 hours.
People are.
No.
Relationships.
No. 1-3-5-3. If you're a scientist who's had sex for 2 hours, I want to talk to you.
That's quite incredible, though. No one would be. The hour mark, they're kidding themselves. I remember it was Sting. Remember Sting and his painful wife?
Oh, he was tantric.
They would tantric each other for hours on end. Remember that?
Yeah,
remember
but when
they,
you know.
They're not doing anything, are they?
Yeah, but you can be. Like if you're changing positions and you're working out your calorie count.
2 hours?
Yeah.
There'd want to be a good game going on over her shoulder if you're going to last.
Okay,
so
the elephant in the room, but you three have so missed it because you're so dumb, is I'm the only one.
What?
I am the only one in a new relationship in this room.
Yes.
Okay. I'm saying
that
2 hours is fine.
Oh, it's not that. Okay. No, you're kidding yourself. No, I know you're trying to be nice to him because he might be listening, but
he's not listening. He's in Sydney.
2 hours, as if.
Okay, it depends what you consider. No, why am I even doing this?
Hold on, is that from the start of dinner until you fall asleep?
Yeah.
Chats and pillow talk.
Movie. Even start this conversation. Okay,
is movie included in sex for you?
That's true.
No.
Very good.
Sure. Boys, all I'm taking from this conversation is you're all boring.
Fair enough.
Last night, the Socceroos, Australian soccer team, played Brazil. They lost 4-0. The Brazilians scored in the first 15 seconds, and it's a friendly match. It's part of what they call the Brazil World Tour, where Brazil goes around the world collecting money for playing friendlies as well they might. Because, well, they are. They're the best. You know,
they're the proper team.
No, it was about basically their third strength team, possibly fourth.
Although, let me say this, because I came in just after it had started and I saw it was 1-0 after, as you say, Ed, 15 seconds.
It was 11 seconds.
Was it 11? I was trying to be kind.
I rewound it and just went, they went through over the line at 11 seconds.
Yeah, it was from the first kickoff and then off they went.
I thought we were going to beat them.
No. Well, I asked my kids. So my youngest was talking to my middle son, who and my children are completely fanatical. And I said, I was overhearing a conversation as to whether they were a legitimate team. And this is what they said.
Yeah, look, they're playing Thiago Silva. He's at centre back. They're playing Alexandro, left back. Douglas Costa, left wing. I think they're playing Paulinho.
So, big names. Big names in football.
But I don't know any of those names. So yeah. I've rung Brenda yesterday and said, the Aussies are paying $7. There's a chance. 2-horse race. I thought maybe the Brazilians would be partying a little bit too much and might let their guard down. And then 11 seconds into the game, I went,
Okay, but another positive, Ed, is that we did make it to halftime at 1-0.
Yeah, it's fine.
Last time they beat us 6-0 or 7-0, I can't remember. But
oh,
it was,
okay.
So mm-hmm. it's a vague improvement, but it's not a bad thing. We just that's where we're at. Brazil are the best or second best or third best team in the world, and we're not. And you should lose 4-0 to
where
Brazil.
Where are we ranked? Are we about 30th or so in the world?
We jump up and down, but I think when you play the proper teams that you find out. And we will lose to them. You know, this is what happens when you play the best teams and you're not very good. You lose. That's what it is.
That is so true. And can I make a mention? There are so many parallels between rugby and soccer, the two global games that mm-hmm. Australia plays, correct? Mm-hmm. Cricket I don't regard as a global game. There's only 6 teams play it. Because I watched last night, that Lions tour went on again.
Mm.
And the Highlanders, just a little team from a little town called Dunedin, beat the greatest, you know, the team that brings together four nations. And I looked at it and went, Australian rugby and Australian soccer are in the same sort of category. Mm. The rest of Australian sports fans go, oh, you idiots, Australian soccer, you're hopeless, 4-0 down. And I go, no, that's not true. You're competing against the best. Same with Australian rugby. Oh, God, Australian rugby stinks. Can't even beat the Kiwis. Oh, well, that's because they're the best in the world. We get compared to them all the time. And then all those Australian sports fans go, no, AFL and rugby league are so good. The reality is it's so tribal. Like, enjoy that, but you can also enjoy Australian soccer, enjoy Australian rugby.
That's right.
They're above AFL and rugby league, those two sports.
Don't we have to just be the best, the number 24th in the world? That way we make the World Cup?
Well, even 32 or even lower.
Is making the World Cup going to do us, Ed? Like, is that enough?
Oh, yeah. No. If Australia's in the... From my perspective, as someone who has absolutely soccer-loving kids, to make the World Cup will be an event. We will go to wherever, you know, a cafe in Milton at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch
that.
It.
Like, Italy, it's, one year.
It becomes right. a thing, and I really hope
if
Australia
makes
it. If
we had no AFL, we would win the Soccer World Cup. If we had no Rugby League, we would win the Rugby World Cup. That is the reality of life. If we wanted to, if I was a dictator and said, listen, shut down those two sports, that AFL and Rugby League, we want to win these two World Cups, we would do that. If all AFL players went and played soccer, we would be the greatest in the world.
Well, imagine Andrew Fifita in goal. I mean, you just never, nothing past him. Tell you who's doing a good job on the international stage for Australia, and that's the Irwins. So you had Bindi go over and win Dancing with the Stars, Robin.
Yes, she did. She did really well.
Did very, very well. Obviously, Steve was on TV over in the States for a long, long time. And who knows how much tourism that they've driven over the years, just by people knowing more about Australia. Oh, look, there they got animals there. You know, they do a great job. So they're over there at the moment and they're on Celebrity Family Feud. You know, they get celebrities on.
Who's the Irwins?
Yeah, the Irwins. The Irwins were on, right?
Oh, it's sensational.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing. You know when you go overseas as an Australian and you don't realise that you've got an accent and a thick accent until you go somewhere and they can't understand you.
Is it true the Queensland accent's the worst for them to understand?
When I first started in radio, I was pulled aside by a boss and said, hey, listen, is there any way you could tone down the Queensland accent?
Right.
What does that mean?
Piss off
we
your
don't
mug.
Know. That's all I got.
That's right, yeah. So anyway, they are, and in America it happens all the time. If anyone's been to America who's listening to us now or even in Europe or whatever, you can't believe it. The first time you say something to someone in a shop and they stare back at you like they can't understand you, you go, oh, my God.
We do talk quickly.
Yeah, we do talk quickly as well.
Do we?
Yeah. That's the other problem. They're a bit slow on the uptake. Sorry, go.
Have a listen to poor Robert Irwin. Was he 12, 11? Trying to tell the host that the word that he's looking for is car. Have a listen to the response he gets.
Name something a 5-year-old might ask a bank to loan him money to buy.
A car. A car.
Oh, car.
A car.
But did you see a car? A car?
Oh, he got it wrong. All that for wrong answer.
And he was wrong.
Hey, can we right some wrongs from yesterday? All throughout Australia, everyone was having a giggle and going, oh, Caboolture, the biggest headquarters for dole cheats and for people who don't turn up to interviews and all the rest of it. You know those stats that were running around yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it had number 2 in Queensland, number 5 in Australia was Deception Bay, also right next to Caboolture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, I looked at it and I went, hold on, Sure, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are. Well, obviously there are. If they're saying those stats are correct, that's fine. Caboolture is a bloody enormous place. Now, I've been a lifetime person who's lived on the deep north of Brisbane. I've played for the Caboolture Carpet Snakes at one stage, their rugby union team. I know Caboolture. I know a lot of people. I have a lot of friends from Caboolture and around Bribie and around Deception Bay even. No one has stopped and said, hold on, let's give them a bloody say. Can I just, right now, can I just get people up in Caboolture and, you know, you're hard-working, wonderful people, so many of them, whether they're carpet layers, whether they're tilers, whether they're truck drivers, whether they own a bakery, whatever. There are so many wonderful people in Caboolture. Next break, after this song, give us a yell and we just want to go, hold on, tell us what the real Caboolture, what the real people of Caboolture are like, not the, every community. I bet you Ascot has people who are lazy bastards in it too. I just want to talk about the Caboolture people right now. Have a chance to hit back after all the nonsense that went on all around Australia yesterday.
Josh.
Don't include them. Where's Josh from?
Yeah, g'day, guys. I'm from DVA. How are you?
Yeah, well, hey, what do you make of all getting slammed in the media yesterday and everyone sniggering and going, oh, yeah, they don't turn up?
Yeah, it was a bit interesting. So, well, I'm actually, right now, I'm a father of two, husband, and I'm studying full-time at university. And the only thing that's getting us through our study, through my study, is Centrelink. So, for me, being labelled a dole bludger, but also being someone who would have probably added to the statistic of the so-called dole bludgers, sort of, I guess, you know, it hurts a bit. But what I would be most worried about is not really the fact that people in Caboolture or people in D-Bay are being labelled with being dole bludgers, but what I would be worried about is the fact that Centrelink is being labelled as something for dole bludgers. But really, what I'd like to know is how many people out there are using Centrelink for the right reasons to be able to go out, go to university, get careers, get ahead in life, and actually make a difference in the community.
It's supposed to be a support net, isn't it?
That's right. The idea is a hand up, not a hand out, Josh. And that's what you're using it for, which is exactly what it's designed to do. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate that. Christine is from Caboolture. Hey, Christine, what did you want to say?
Yeah, I just feel sad that we potentially could have been put in a category that we're not. My partner owns and operates his own business for about 20 years, and I manage a retirement village, and so I'm hardworking and that sort of thing. And to think that we're in an area that potentially is, you know, labelled a dole bludger, yeah, pretty sad. Yeah. So I was saying that my partner does rarely go to the shops, and he mentioned last night that every time he does seem to see the same people there, you know, with tats and things like that in the shop. So
hold on, that's every suburb, though. Christine, that's everywhere. You see the same people at the shops.
Every story.
Yeah. It does bother you. You know, to see your suburb up on the news like that, it kind of, you take it personally, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. It's like, well, we're a big suburb, like, you know, like you were saying earlier, and there's more to Caboolture than just, you know, a little area and that sort of thing. And we work hard for our living that, you
okay,
know, support
so
these other people.
Tell me about the good things in your suburb then. Why did you choose to live there?
My partner, for one, because that's where he was living at the time. But, you know, good shops, markets on the Sunday that I go to every Sunday for fruit and veggies that I support the local people with. You know, close to the rail and that, I drive to work with what I do. But
if,
yeah,
you like fishing too, if you like fishing, you get into that river, you get into the back end of Bribie and you're out into the bay as well.
Yeah, close to the Sunshine Coast, One Direction, Bribie, all that sort of thing, the beaches. Yeah, I like it.
All right. I just saw Caboolture getting beaten up yesterday really badly around the place and thought, I don't want that to happen. I love Caboolture. Anyway.
Okay, like, I'm a bit of a Facebook lover and I spend a fair bit of time, not a fair bit, but a bit of time going through. And my children are YouTube lovers and look at memes a lot. So I found some dog memes that I'm just going to share with you as the shows go on, you know, whenever we need a little prep up.
I love dogs.
Okay, so how's this one? I can't think of anything that brings me closer to tears than when my old dog, completely exhausted after a hard day in the field, limps away from her nice spot in front of the fire, comes over to where I'm sitting and puts her head in my lap. I pour on my knee and closes her eyes and goes back to sleep. I don't know what I've done to deserve that kind of friend.
Lovely. What am I supposed to say?
Yeah,
lovely.
But isn't that nice? Oh, I'm bad audience.
Bad horse.
See, chicks would really dig that. You guys are supposed to go, oh, and it makes me think about my dog.
The dog does that. Like,
what,
the dog did that
Teddy
to me last night.
Okay,
then,
well, there you go.
Then
you
give
can
him a
contribute.
Pat, and you've just about eaten it, and you smell your hand, and you go, oh, now I'm going to have to wash my hands again. Oh,
that's true.
Don't
so
you get that?
No.
No?
I never think that. I think I'm like that person. I go, wow, I have a devoted puppy in my life that doesn't care about anything
right,
else.
That's in
other.
Your dreams. I've seen that mangy greyhound of yours and that other thing, that big thing. But they don't go over, do they?
Yes,
no.
They do.
They're busy as all
Summer,
hell. And you go, Gus, someone put that dog to bed.
No,
that's really what happens.
Summer has a snout because she's a greyhound. And when she puts that on your lap and it keeps it nice and toasty warm and you think,
have you
there
got a
you
rabbit
go.
There somewhere? That's all it's chasing, isn't it?
Okay. All see right. this? See this dog's
no, no, do
it's
one
going
again.
In
do
the
one
bin.
Again tomorrow.
Do it again.
I'll probably
no,
do it again. Do it again. Do it again.
Do another one.
We weren't
bad
ready.
Audience.
We weren't ready.
Guys, shocking.
We were waiting for a punchline and never
there
came.
There is no punchline. It's just nice things to say about dogs.
Oh, right. I
thought
makes
we you think it. About your
kidding.
Puppies.
Okay.
And if you're a person that has spent time and that's, you know, the best part of your day and then you've spent more time going onto Facebook and probably spending half an hour writing that and reviewing that and then posting it. And then if you're someone who's gone onto Facebook to read that, then, you know, it says something about all three people in that scenario.
Shut up, Ed.
And when a girl usually on this show says, I'm going to talk to you about my puppies, we're expecting something far different.
Yes.
And that's reality.
This time tomorrow, some more pleasant
we'll
dog quotes from Robin Bailey. We're going to do that all week at 8:05.
Let's sedate ourselves around 8 o'clock. Tell us some more about your dog.
No, that's fine.
Goodness me. Dog story.
Very own Gus Wallen from the Grill team in Sydney is launching a new foundation. You can go to their website, gotchaforlife.org. That's gotcha and then four of the number four life.org. And to tell us more about it is Gus Wallen. G'day, Gus.
Oh, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on. It's such an important week, and I know people talk about mental health a lot, but I've been living it now for a couple of years after the Man Up TV show, and I just couldn't let it go. So I thought, well, I have to do something.
What does it actually do? What happens if I go there? Gotcha for life.
It all started with a lady who actually lost her husband and two sons to suicide. So imagine that for a moment when you're sitting around a table of four and life is going along well as far as she was concerned, and she lost her husband, and then the boys just loved their dad so much they couldn't live without him, and they then, within a few months, suicided. So she was then quite a rich woman because the way that everything worked out, she had all this money, she had a home, she didn't want to be in anymore, and she watched Man Up and she wanted to give me some money to help. So she gave me $300,000. Now, that $300,000, I sat down and went, it's such a huge responsibility. What do I do with this? And how do I make it really work for her? So this had just snowballed into this foundation, which I'm launching in Mental Health Week. And I'm now sat down with her and said, where do you think the problems are? This is where I think they are. So we've got three pillars. Firstly, we know there is a problem, and Lifeline is something that I've been very closely associated with, but Lifeline don't have enough men answering the phones to all the people that need the phones answered. So a lot of blokes ring up, and they'll get a girl to answer the phone or a lady, and they'll hang back up again. They don't want to talk to a lady, and for whatever reason, that's how they feel. So I'm sponsoring now any man who goes to Lifeline, I will pay for their training.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
That's one area. Then, of course, I think our young men need to learn about masculinity and what it takes to be an Aussie man a lot earlier than perhaps the stereotypical stuff that we get at the moment. So I want as many people in at schools as possible to hear Tom Harkin and other educational people talking about how it is to be a healthy Australian bloke. So there's another part that's sort of getting into the youngsters of the school. And then there's going to be a pot of money for anyone who comes up with a really cool idea within the space of mental health, and they might need a little kicker. They're the three pillars of the foundation, and the fundraiser comes in. I've got a board and we sit there and we then divvy out the money.
Wonderful.
So are you getting the money out straight away? Like, are people already coming?
So what's happened, because we're launching this week, with the board's been selected, we've got all our paperwork, if you like, and everything ticked and done. Now we're starting off with a Hugh Jackman experience in New York City. So if you want to go and spend the morning with Hugh Jackman in New York City, you can go to our website, which Ed said at the top of
gotchaforlife.org.
That's right. You go there and you can get yourself in the running to spend a morning with Jacko in New York City, which is obviously I grew up with him. We went to kindy together, so he's offered up this wonderful opportunity. Wonderful. And that's going to be happening in October. So that's our first fundraiser. And then we're going to have a whole lot of other stuff next year. We've got a fun run. We've got going to have some men lunches. It's going to be heaps of fun.
Good one, mate.
And Gus, from my perspective, go and talk to the families dealing with people.
Yeah.
Before it actually happens, go and talk to the mothers and the children. They're the ones that can tell you the warning signs and the things that go down.
I know. And you and I have spent a lot of time talking about that together. And we were at lunch in Brisbane only about a month ago, and how much love was in the room for all those beautiful women as well, people dealing with stuff. And I know what you're going through personally. So we're just another support network. There's a brilliant bunch of people out there doing as much stuff as possible, but the problem isn't going away. It's the number one killer of men in Australia is suicide. We're losing up to eight a day. And when you say that like that and you think about it for a moment, boys, it's just incredible. Yeah, it's really so intense. If we can just bring that number down and try to come up with some sort of solution, then that's what I'm all about.
Good on you, Gussie. Gus Wallen from the Grill Team in Sydney. The website is gotchaforlife.org. Speak to you soon, mate. Thank you.
Good on you, guys. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.